This morning I will be reading Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 through 27. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible.
Again, it's good to see everyone this morning. We appreciate you being here. I mentioned that in our Sunday morning class, Eddie was talking about corporate worship and our coming together. And sometimes, you know, there may be a tendency, you know, I just don't feel like, you know, coming today. And then once we get there, we're blessed, we're strengthened. But it reminded me of a story that I heard about a mother calling her son. And she said, son, you've got to go to church this morning. And so he said, Mom, I don't want to go. And he said, give me one good reason. She said, I'll give you three. Number one, I'm your mother. Number two, you're 40 years old and you know better. And number three, you're the preacher. I guess that third reason was a good reason. But Moses' life can be divided into three 40-year periods. 40 years in Egypt, 40 years in the land of Midian, and 40 years in the wilderness leading God's people to the promised land. And as we all know, Moses faced a series of crises in his life. At his birth, when he killed the Egyptian, when God called him to be the leader of his people, and you recall initially he made a number of excuses as to why he would not be the person to lead God's people. The wilderness wanderings and all the challenges that must have brought to him. The end of his life when he was promised, or when he was not permitted to enter into the promised land. But every time I think about that final one, I think about that time with the transfiguration and who was there standing with Jesus in the promised land. Moses was one of those. So it was quite a bit later when he was allowed to enter and to see that promised land. But Moses was a great liberator. He was a lawgiver. He was a leader. Moses was a great leader because he took a complaining group of people to the promised land. And I want to focus on Hebrews 11 this morning. It's a chapter about faith. Faith is defined for us there in verses 3 through 1. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. You know, by faith, we believe that the worlds were created by the Word of God. And then faith is demonstrated here in verses 4 through 40. And one of the examples of faith is Moses. And I want to look at four words from Hebrews 11, 24 through 27. That was our text that was read here this morning. The first word is the word refused. Hebrews 11, verse 24, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. It was a faith decision on his part. As the adopted son of an Egyptian princess, Moses, I suspect, could have led an easy life in the palace. Egypt had everything that people strive for today. Power, pomp, prestige, popularity, pleasure, plenty. All of this Moses had at his disposal, but he refused. He turned his back on all that Egypt had to offer. By faith, Moses refused social honors, physical satisfaction, and material gain. Paul did a similar thing in Philippians chapter 3. Although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more, circumcised the eighth day, of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ. Daniel had the advantage of eating at the king's table, but he refused. Daniel 1 verse 8, but Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. So I believe the key expression there is, but Daniel did what? He made up his mind. He was willing to make up his mind to refuse something that he felt would defile himself in the sight of God. And so if we're going to serve God in our culture, some things we're going to have to refuse. We cannot be allured by the attractions of the world. 1 John chapter 2, beginning at verse 15, do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lusts, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. So the Apostle John is reminding us that we must not love the world nor the things in the world. We are in the world, yes, but we are not of the world. Jesus prayed, Father, I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but that you protect them, that you keep them from the evil one. Our citizenship, yes, is in heaven, but we do have involvements here on the earth, but we must not be of the world. We're in the world, but not of the world. We must not love the world, and that's what John is reminding his readers and us here this morning. So we must refuse to be dictated by the values of the world. Rather, we must be willing to listen to the Word of God. He refused. A second word is the word choosing. Hebrews 11:25, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Why would a man give up all that Egypt had to offer to go and suffer with the people of God? But he made a choice. And our lives are what they are today because of the choices we make. Every single day we make choices. We choose to serve God or not to serve God. We choose to walk in the will of God or not to walk in the will of God. Three important choices that we must make. Number one, our master. Who is going to be the master? Who is going to sit on the throne of our lives? Joshua issued this challenge to his people in Joshua 24. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, Whether the gods which your fathers served, which are beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We've got to choose the master of our lives. Who is the one who is going to be in control? Who is the one who's going to call the shots? And Joshua said, and he issued this challenge to the people, choose for yourselves today whom you are going to serve. But as for me and my house, we have made the decision. We have decided that God is going to be the master of our lives, that we will serve the Lord. But we also need to choose our mindset. Our theme this year is from Colossians 3 and verse 2. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. We've got to choose our mindset. Choose our attitude. And we can choose whether we're going to have a positive attitude or a negative attitude. And I know there are a lot of things that can make an impact on us, but that's a choice that we must make. And we've got to decide, I'm going to set my mind on things above. I'm going to do my very best to have what I think Paul would call a sanctified kind of thinking. I'm going to dwell on those things that are right and good and pure and holy. And I think if I'm really setting my mind on those things above, then I really do believe that will give me the right perspective to the things that are here upon the earth. I've still got to be involved. I'm still serving here. I'm in the world. But if I'm really consciously trying to set my mind on those things above, that helps me decide what I'm going to do about these things that challenge me here upon this earth. So we've got to choose our mindset. But also we need to choose our mission. And three verses that I've often referred to that I think define, at least in summary form, our mission. First, Luke 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's part of our mission, to reach out and to try to share the good news of Christ with others. And then Mark 10, verse 45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. We're called to serve, and we must always be looking for those opportunities, you know, to serve. Really, the Christian faith, I think when you boil it down, has two great symbols, the cross of sacrifice and the towel of service. The cross of sacrifice and the towel of service. But the Son of Man came not so much to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And then Luke 6, verse 36, be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Having that attitude of mercy and concern and grace as we interact with people. So, to seek and to save the lost, to be servants, and to show mercy. I believe those verses help us to identify our mission. I'm not saying that's all inclusive, that there are other things that we are about, but I think those are three crucial verses when we think about our mission here upon this earth. No one makes you choose. You decide. It's personal. Again, Joshua said what? Choose for yourselves today whom you are going to serve. No greater power we have than the power of choice. Moses made a choice. Choosing to endure ill treatment with the people of God rather than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Third word is the word considering. Hebrews 11, 26, considering the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. He considered here the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Moses was weighing some things in a balance. The word considering here is a bookkeeping term. We might think of Moses here with his ledger book. Here were his assets. Here were his liabilities. And when he weighed it all up, what did he say? It is better to serve God than to have all the riches of Egypt. And then the fourth word is the word left. Hebrews 11:27, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. He made a firm decision, and then he made a final departure. He knew he had to leave Egypt. When we become Christians, we cannot hold on to the world with one hand and God with the other. Often we do try to straddle that fence. Moses left Egypt. He made no compromises with Pharaoh. If we want to live a victorious life in this challenging culture in which we live, I believe that we must refuse the world's values. We must do our very best to make the right choices. We must at times weigh things in a balance, as Moses, considering the reproach of Egypt greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt. And then we've got to leave the world behind. In the world, but not of the world. Moses has always been one of my favorite Bible characters. I just can hardly imagine what he had to deal with. And certainly he had his failures. He had his mistakes. He was a human just like all of us. But he did prove to be a tremendous leader in the face of some very difficult challenges. And I think when you think about, you know, his upbringing and think about what all he had, be able to leave that all behind because he was looking toward those things which were unseen. He was serving his God, and that motivated him to do the things that he did. So let's do our very best. If there are things we got to refuse, let's do that. Let's pray to God that we'll make the right choices. Sometimes we've got to do that considering. We've got to see what are our assets, what are our liabilities, weigh those things and make the decision that we've got to serve God. And then if there are times when we've got to make a departure, we've got to leave, we've got to go in the direction that God wants us to go, pray that God will give us the strength to do that as well. When we're going to sing our song of encouragement, David prayed about that in his prayer, and we always want to give anybody an opportunity to give themselves to the Lord. And if there's anyone here this morning who is ready to make that decision to commit their lives to Christ through faith, repentance, and baptism, we invite you to make that important decision here this morning. If anyone desires to, the prayers of the congregation, we're here to pray with you, to pray for you. We believe in the power of prayer. We believe that is an important element when we come together. And so we rely upon God through this avenue, you know, of prayer. And if you desire the prayers of this congregation, please come and share that with us. And we will take that to that powerful throne of grace. If there's any way we can serve you this morning, would you let us know how? As together we stand and sing our song of encouragement.